And we continue to roll along here on a Tuesday morning in Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples with Troy Coverdale producing things, and Brandon Sokol in studio with us. He's the animal control officer with T. Russell Wright's Animal Shelter, and a lot going on here. We've been mentioning here the Clear the Shelters event going on September 2nd through the 4th. That's this Thursday through Saturday from 1 to 5 p.m. You've also got an event coming up here later in September, the Shelter Garage Sale. What's this?
Yeah, so we get a lot of donations that we might not necessarily be able to use, but it's, you know, good stuff, something that, you know, maybe someone in our community can. So we're going to go ahead and hold this garage sale September 10th and 11th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're going to have just a bunch of different things, you know, from dog crates, cat crates, and kennels to miscellaneous stuff like bowls, brushes. You know, we got a lot of litter pans, toys that maybe, you know, not suitable for, like, our animals. We get a lot of, like, small animal cages, bird cages, and they're like, you know, treats and toys for them, little shelters that we can't necessarily use. You know, we got a couple, like, dog strollers, you know, really nice stuff, but maybe we can't get use out of it. So we're going to, you know, get into this garage sale. If we can get some donations for that, then that money can go directly into the animal shelter and those pets as well.
All right. Wonderful opportunity there to help out the shelter. And, gosh, you probably get some good condition items here for a lot of pet owners.
Absolutely. You know, we get a lot of nice, like, cat furniture. It's amazing the kind of stuff that people donate to us, you know, whether it's like they got for their animal and their animal didn't use it or find it, you know, something that they're into, or, you know, they lost a pet. So then they're, you know, trying to pass that on. So this is a good way for us to, you know, help do that, to get that to an animal or a person that might enjoy it.
Cool. Kind of reminds me of like Furniture Amnesty Day, but the pet version of that.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. And the city operates both. So very, very cool. Let's talk a little bit more kind of your line of work here in animal control. We had the K-State Vet Med on earlier this month talking a little bit about the importance of rabies and rabies vaccinations, that is. And,
yeah.
And you're also going to talk about that and city pet licensing.
Yeah, so the pet licensing is basically registering an animal that's over 6 months old that has a rabies vaccine. So you're registering the rabies vaccine, so you'll need that certificate, whether that's in your email or like an actual paper form, and you can purchase those at the animal shelter or at City Hall. And there are also some participating vets that will sell that for you as well when you're getting that rabies vaccine. So if your animal's fixed, it's only $6 per year. If they are unaltered or still intact, then it would be $24 per year. So just an incentive for people to get those animals spayed or neutered. But yeah, the rabies vaccine, it just, you know, rabies is pretty much fatal, 100%, but it's also 100% preventable with those vaccines. You know, we do a lot of rabies exposure reporting. So any like animal bite that gets reported to like a hospital employee or, you know, medical employee, they report it to us and we follow up, make sure that the animal does have a vaccine. And, you know, even if like your animal didn't do anything really wrong, there's not like a criminal charge, but there's not a current rabies vaccine, then that animal is, you know, going to have to do a quarantine, and then that could get, you know, quite expensive. And then you get your rabies vaccine on top of that. So just staying on top of that, just for the health of you and your neighbors, and also just kind of avoid a lot of headache in the future.
All right. So good to keep in mind here if you've got an animal. And we were talking here during the break, you know, one thing where people get rabies a lot from is bats. And I understand you have a bat actually in your truck out there.
Yeah, I got to deliver at the K-State. You know, someone woke up with a bat in their room, and you can't account for, you know, what that bat was doing while a person was sleeping. So you can't really take that chance. So we're going to have it tested. K-State does those. You know, we kind of live right in the area where the state has its rabies testing lab. So that makes it real convenient. But it's also for the safety of that person, you know. If you have a bat like in your residence and it's like, you know, in direct contact, that is something that we can help with. Pretty much any time of the day, you can call Raleigh County Police Department, report that. And yeah, if it's something that's going to cause a direct exposure, we can go ahead and see if we can remove it for you. If it needs tested, then that's when we'll also handle taking it over to K-State. There is a fee for those testing. But I don't want that to discourage somebody, you know, from wanting to get something tested like that, because it's definitely going to be for your safety.
What I don't understand is how do bats get into our homes like this? I think I had one a few months ago that was in my house, and I think it either went away or died up there.
Do you have like a chimney or anything like that?
No, we do kind of have an open attic to our garage. Maybe
yeah,
that's...
so attics, they seem to get a lot through like attics, you know, like kind of seams like on the bottom of your roof. Old chimneys, I see them coming down through the chimneys, getting through fireplaces, you know, even like getting into a basement and then working their way up. So I don't think the bat's trying to be in your house, but it's getting in there and then it's, you know, not able to find its way out.
Okay. We have a caller on the line that has a question or a comment, so let's go to the phones. Good morning, you're on In Focus. We got them there? Nope, did they go away?
Lost them.
Okay, here we go. I think we got them now. Pushing some new buttons in there. Go ahead, caller, you're on In Focus.
Yes, those bats in the house, if you look in the doorbell, there's usually two or three of them in the doorbell housing. We had them at the frat house. We'd catch them in the fish dip nets and just put them back outside. They can go through a quarter-inch crack to go wherever they want to go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you for your effort.
Thank you.
Now, this specific bat, you said you're having some trouble with him this morning, huh?
Yeah, I got like a little grabber that I kind of would get him to get into the container, and he latched onto that. He is pretty feisty. Typically, they're not that aggressive, you know, but this guy was really, you know, I guess fighting for his life.
I've done radio programs before. We've had animals in the studio, and I've had cats climbing the walls. I mean, we've had dogs.
Those are perfect walls for that, yeah.
Yeah, we've had dogs running around. I can't imagine, you know, and I'm sure it would be caged if we brought him in here, but I would probably have the heebie-jeebies right now.
I don't know what that sound would be like on the radio. You know, it's like pretty high pitch. That might not come through very well.
It's funny. My wife the other day saw, it looked like it was a, I'm not sure. She sent me a picture of it. It looked like a bat. It was kind of dying on the ground somewhere. And I just told her not to touch it, you know, just leave it alone.
Yeah, don't touch it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what we like to tell people, you know, getting that message out there, especially the kids. You know, you see like a bat on the ground, you're like, oh, no, you know, maybe I should help this thing. And you go and touch it, and pretty soon you're like, well, oh, now I have to go get rabies vaccines. So just if you're seeing something, if it's outside, you know, nature's going to have to, you know, play out how it does. But just avoiding it, if you're able to safely move it, like that gentleman mentioned, you know, getting in like a fish dip net, if you're able to safely, you know, move something out without actually having physical contact with it, I mean, that's ideal. Especially if it's like in somewhere like maybe a sidewalk and you're able to move it. But, you know, I really don't want to encourage someone to go out of their way to try and get themselves involved with the bat. But if you could safely do that and move it somewhere where it's not in like close proximity, that's ideal.
All right. Human instinct's always to try to help an injured animal. And I understand that. But yeah, you want to be safe.
You got to be cautious with the bats for sure.
All right. Well, there's some other things here to get to. We were talking earlier about dogs and cars and the reason for that. And that, people can get ticketed for that, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We don't write a lot of citations for that just because, you know, with like the internet and a lot of the information out more, you're not getting a lot of people that are, you know, doing that kind of stuff, or at least you not on like, you know, unsafe conditions. But it does happen, you know, and it doesn't take very long before those conditions to be unsafe to where, yeah, a citation would be warranted. But also, I mean, it could escalate further than that, you know. So, it just, you got to avoid, you know, any hot day. I'd say if it's going to be over 80, you know, 80 degrees and sunny, just make that special trip home. Just get them safe at home.
Okay. And yeah, we've dealt with a lot of heat this, the past couple weeks, and I'm sure, you know, there's probably been some calls out there, people leaving animals out.
Yeah.
Unattended.
Yeah. We've written some citations this summer. We definitely have. Writing citations is not, you know, the funnest thing in the world, but it's definitely warranted, you know. So that's how I think about it. I'm going to be objective in the situation and definitely fair, but the law is the law, and especially in a situation that's unsafe.
Absolutely. We have, you know, speaking of the law, there's leash laws that people may not always be aware of. Kind of talk about how those work here in the city of Manhattan.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a couple dog parks that I'd encourage people to utilize. You know, there's one at Seco Park. There's also one out at Fairmont. And then there's a lot of places, you know, out in the county that, you know, are good for recreation, people to take their animals. Now, if your dog could handle being off leash out in those areas, I mean, absolutely go for it. But when you're in town, you know, they've got to be on leash when they're outside those designated dog parks. You know, we do get a lot of people that are out at the park playing with their pet on like an athletic field, which is something that, you know, deep down I can appreciate. You know, I don't like being that guy that'd be like, hey, you know, you can't be out here with your dog, because that's not what I'm really trying to say, but you can't. The athletic fields, you know, really need to be designated for that purpose. I think the city invest a lot into taking care of that grass. But also, you know, say you miss some droppings out there and then the kid's playing soccer, you know, that's not going to be fun. But then it also sets a precedent for someone to, like, maybe come out and do that with their animal that can't handle that. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to kind of give that example. And it's just not, you know, be neighborly. You know, sometimes the dogs can handle it, but they're going to go on and do something that's maybe a little bit more of a nuisance activity. Just being on leash is going to avoid that. It's going to avoid having me come over and, you know, get your information or possibly move to a citation if it becomes chronic.
All right. Good to keep in mind. And, you know, definitely utilize those dog parks. I haven't actually been to the one at Seco. And surprisingly enough, I've been down to the Fairmont Park one. I live closer to Seco. Where's that one at? Is that on the east side?
It's actually on the north side of the park, kind of across from Westwood.
Okay.
Or not Westwood. What's that road over there? Candlewood.
Candlewood, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's right across from there, right by the rodeo stadium.
Okay. I'll have to check
that
out.
That Fairmont Park one is, I mean, a large area. I mean, it's got, like, the shaded trees. I mean, that's definitely probably the nicer of the two. But I think that Seco Park one gets a little bit more traffic through the evening.
All right. Well, we just wrapped up the swimming season here at the city pools, and the last day I had the pet palooza out there, and I understand that was a pretty good success.
Yeah, so, I mean, they turned the pool into a dog park. You know, that was a lot of fun. I mean, we raised over $2,000. We didn't get an exact count on our attendance, but I think we had over 300 dogs there. We didn't have any accidents or bites or anything like that, no dog fights. So you got to call that a success.
Absolutely, and that's a fun event for not just the pets, but the pet owners. They get out there and have a lot of fun with their animals.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I was just over there working, and I had a blast because I'm just, like, watching all these dogs kind of run around, not, you know, just enjoying themselves, and everyone's enjoying, you know, watching that. It's kind of a little chaotic in the best way.
All right. Well, very good. Again, let's recap one more time just kind of with the immediate events coming up here this week. Thursday through Saturday is clear the shelters and run down the adoption fees and such.
Yeah, dog adoptions $50, cat adoptions $25, kittens are going to be $75. We don't have any puppies, but when we get them, we're going to announce some prices for them as well, but they're also going to be discounted. Right now we got 11 adoptable dogs, 16 adoptable cats and kittens. We're open 1 to 5 Monday through Saturday, and then these next 2 weekends, September 2nd and 4th, and September 9th through the 11th, we're going to have the Clear Shelters discounted prices.
All right. And then looking forward to that shelter garage sale the 10th and 11th of September from 9 to 4. Brandon, really appreciate the time here this morning, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. That's going to wrap up our show here for this Tuesday morning and for the month of August. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to be visiting with Superintendent Marvin Wade from USD 3-3 Manhattan Ogden Schools. Kristen Brighton, school board member, will be joining him. We'll also have the Manhattan Fire Department, and downtown Manhattan's Gina Scroggs will join us tomorrow.